Welcome to the Relief Society program on the Mormon Channel. I'm Sharon Eubank. Today, I'm joined by Sister Julie B. Beck, the General Relief Society President, who's answering your questions about Relief Society's connection to the priesthood and our spiritual gifts as women in the church. Sister Beck, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Sharon. This is a subject I love talking about.
We're really glad you're here. I know you've thought about this topic for a long time, and I happen to remember you gave a talk when you were in the Young Women's General Presidency about the outpourings of the blessings of the priesthood and trying to help sisters understand some of those blessings in your lives. But the questions keep coming up, and I thought maybe this would be a good thing for us to talk about today, just some of the things about how does the Lord feel about women and what kind of authority is extended to women in the church and what are the unique perspectives that the church offers to women. So I hope that through some of the questions that our readers have sent in that we can talk about some of those subjects.
Okay.
First, there isn't a woman in this audience who hasn't pondered about the relationships between men and women in the church and in families, and some of them have had bad experiences, and that kind of colors their perceptions about what things are going on. What would you say in our doctrine is healing to those women, or the doctrine about men and women in the church? What is it that is a comfort?
The comfort that is the greatest comfort and the greatest truth is the Lord has said to receive exaltation and eternal life, we do it together. It's men and women. That means he didn't plan on or create any ungodly children. And if we hope for that life, God's life, which we're promised, we ascend together, men and women. That connotes a tremendous amount of unity in thought and ability and in everything that we're aiming for. It's a unified approach. That's how the Lord sees us.
We have some audio. This is Sister Crystal Schultz, and she's asking a question.
Hi, this is Crystal Schultz from Mesa, Arizona, and I wanted to ask Sister Beck a question. Honestly, I'm having a hard time thinking of specific spiritual gifts. I know that as a mother, I can bring the Spirit into my home, but what are some specific spiritual gifts that women have or that I can pray for?
This is a wonderful question. We know that when Joseph Smith met with the sisters in one of the first Relief Society meetings, he said one of the purposes of organizing them in this way was so that the sisters would be shown how to come in possession of the privileges, blessings, and gifts of the priesthood. And then he went on to say that they could attain those blessings by a virtuous life and conversation and diligence in keeping all the commandments. Spiritual gifts are available to all of God's children. If you read in section 46 of the Doctrine and Covenants and again in Moroni chapter 10, these gifts are listed, but the Lord says that they are available to all his children, male and female children, have spiritual gifts available to them. Joseph Smith was teaching the sisters how they could come into possession of those blessings. So part of it is the worthiness and keeping the commandments. But if we want to know what they are specifically, we can read them in the scriptures where it says that to some is given to have faith and to discern spirits and to speak in tongues and to interpret tongues. And then we've been told through modern revelation and other prophets that spiritual gifts are really limitless. And if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll see different spiritual gifts listed there. And in the scriptures, we find many, many spiritual gifts that come.
It seems like when we talk about spiritual gifts that often that would be such a personal thing between a person and the Lord. What does Relief Society have to do with the exercising of spiritual gifts?
Well, Relief Society is the organizer, one, of the combined gifts of women. And it's the place where the sisters were meant to be taught and prepared for these gifts. Joseph said, this is the place where we study about that. It's the place where we learn about it. It's the place where we prepare you for the temple. So Relief Society's connection to this is very fundamental. If that wasn't part of our responsibility to teach these things, then we wouldn't be fulfilling one of our charter purposes.
Many women long to hear and feel how the Lord feels about them. And sometimes it's hard. Patriarchal blessings are one venue of finding out a little bit about how the Lord feels. Could you just talk a little bit about patriarchal blessings and their connection to spiritual gifts?
Patriarchal blessings is also a key to this. And I gave another talk when I was in the Young Women Presidency about this, trying to help young women who are generally in the age to receive a blessing understand what it is. But a blessing, a patriarchal blessing, isn't like a fortune teller. It's a document of prophecy, and reading it with the spiritual eye helps you see more of a scope or a panorama and discern how the Lord feels about you personally. What you should learn from a patriarchal blessing is, A, the Lord knows you. He knows your name. He knows your spiritual lineage. He knows your mission on the earth and some of the things that you should be able to accomplish. A patriarchal blessing usually tells you a spiritual gift that you have that you can access. But we're also told that we should seek earnestly all the good gifts. So again, a patriarchal blessing isn't limited in what it provides. It gives you a basic outline, but the gospel teaches so much else. What isn't included in your patriarchal blessing is included in the gospel. You can follow those kinds of things.
You know, we had a sister write into the Mormon Channel website, and she said, why are men given the priesthood and not women? You know, how do you combat the feelings of sisters that they maybe feel less or less valued because they don't hold priesthood keys?
I think that there is a great confusion about this, and some of it came about through the sifting of the scriptures and when plain and precious things were removed from the scriptures. But there is confusion about priesthood and how we talk about it. Sometimes we thank the priesthood for the service that they gave. So that implies that the men who hold the priesthood are the priesthood. But the priesthood isn't held by any one single person. The priesthood is the power of God. It is God's power. And that is the power by which He created the worlds. It is the power by which He governs things. It is the power by which He helps us. So it is His power. And in His plan, He has given certain responsibilities to men and to women to utilize that power He's made available to bless His children. Some of that power comes to us through the gifts and blessings of the priesthood that come to us personally as gifts. Some of that power comes to us through ordinances. For instance, when we're given baptized and given the gift of the Holy Ghost, everybody gets that power if they're worthy. And that is not gender specific. Mm-hmm. That is God's power speaking to us through the power of revelation that He can give us through the Holy Ghost. There are authorizations to perform ordinances. Sometimes we say, well, the men have it and the women don't. I hear that argument a lot. That isn't even the right question. The question we should be having in our lives is, how can I access every ordinance that's available to me to walk back to my Heavenly Father? How can I access the gifts and the blessings He's made available to every one of His children? And those blessings and ordinances are not gender specific, those saving ordinances that will exalt us. Now, men have been given the assignment to hold in trust the priesthood. To really understand this, you'd have to do a study of the family of Abraham and go all the way back to Adam. And why did the Lord give Adam the priesthood to hold in trust? It was so that every child of Adam's family would have access to the ordinances that would save them. That was Adam's assignment, to hold in trust that authority to perform those ordinances, to bless his family. Now, Eve was his sealed wife. That was a priesthood ordinance that sealed them. So the power of that ordinance was effective in her life. She also had assignments in her family to teach her children, to nurture her children, to create the life of that child. And by whose power does that happen? That is God's power. Women don't need to be ordained to an office to perform that. And oftentimes, I think they're confused about that. The Lord can bless us in many, many ways through the gifts of the priesthood, through the blessings of the priesthood, and through those privileges that come to us if we are worthy to receive an ordinance and then value that ordinance enough to have it effective in our life.
You've just framed that in a very interesting way, because if I understood you right, you said it isn't about who administers the ordinances. It is about who has access to ordinances. And you're saying in the church that every worthy person has access to ordinances.
Every worthy person has access to ordinances, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they own a mansion, whether they've been to a university and had a great education, whether they're illiterate. If they make that covenant and that ordinance takes place in their life, the Lord honors that. I've seen women and men in places where they can't even read receive powerful revelation and the Lord's help, and that's effective in their lives. I sat by a woman in a temple once in a faraway land, and I know she couldn't read or write, but there she was in the temple, participating in the temple ordinances just the same as I was. So the Lord isn't a respecter of persons when he wants to bless them with the privileges of the priesthood and the blessings of the priesthood and the gifts of the priesthood. And we lose sight of those things by asking the wrong question.
We live in an environment that really thrives on asking these polarizing questions and pulling that discussion to the extremes. What would you say to young women who are thinking about these and getting a lot of feedback from this environment and asking a lot of these questions?
This is Satan's way of confusing all of us so that the men don't understand what they have and value it, and the women don't understand what they have and value it, and that neither values what the other has. If we can get into a polarizing, combative frame of mind, then neither of us values really what the Lord has blessed us with in his priesthood. If we go to section 110 of the Doctrine and Covenants, this is a wonderful signpost for us, and it's a ponder question that I think we should understand. In section 109, we have the prayer, the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple, which blesses the people and the temple and the edifice, and it has a lot of wonderful things. Then we have section 110. This is where they tell, where Joseph Smith tells about the Lord actually appearing to them in that temple that is now dedicated, and where the Lord accepts that house. And then he tells about, because now we have a temple. In verse 9, the hearts of thousands and tens of thousands will greatly rejoice in consequence of the blessings that shall be poured out, and the endowment or the gift with which my servants have been endowed in this house. So then in verse 10, it says, and the fame of this house shall be spread to foreign lands. Now we have that. Temples in every foreign land. And this is the beginning of the blessing which shall be poured out upon the heads of my people. So that was the beginning of the blessing poured out. The Lord wasn't saying it's only for my sons. The blessings at the temple are available to the Lord's people. That's significant, and we need to think about what that is.
Thank you. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. Sister Julie B. Beck, the General Relief Society president, is joining us today to answer your questions about spiritual gifts and the connection with the priesthood. We have some audio from a sister named Denise Ellen Pedrosa. Maybe we could play that, and then you might be able to respond.
Hi, this is Denise Pedrosa from Crestline, California. And my question for Sister Beck is, what is the difference, or if there's any difference, between a mother's prayer and a father's blessing? Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. The difference here is that a father's blessing is a priesthood ordinance, and a mother's prayer is something that all of us can, we all have access to the heavens through prayer all the time. The father has been given this responsibility because he has been ordained, and he's the patriarch of the family, to call upon the powers of heaven in performing a blessing that is requested. Some sisters say, how often should I ask for a priesthood blessing? And I say, as often as you want a priesthood blessing or you need that priesthood blessing. The blessing allows the Father to call upon the power of God to pronounce the word of God in that case. So it's not a formula performance where he just automatically puts his hands on someone's head and says something. A priesthood blessing properly performed is the Lord's words through that man to the person. That's what we mean when we say someone who has been ordained to the priesthood holds in trust the power to act in God's name. That assignment was given to Heavenly Father's sons. When we know that, we would want to do everything we could be, not only to honor that man, but to protect that power that can bless our home, to enlarge his understanding of that power so that at any moment, that at any time, I could have access to that blessing personally, that I could go and say, Heavenly Father, help me. Please pour out your blessing upon me through this man. I would never want to compete with that. I would want to access that strength and power in my life. A mother's prayer, as we know, also calls down the powers of heaven in a different way. And it accesses the Lord through our faith. And we're told that miracles can happen through our faith and the prayers of the righteous. So it's calling upon the Lord's help in two different ways, but it's still God's power. And it should not be competitive, but I would say mutually supporting and strengthening. I would hope that every man who holds the priesthood in a family would strengthen the prayers of a mother, and that they're working together, both of them, to bless a family in this beautiful companionship role. Again, remember, Satan's way is to confuse this and to make it competitive so that neither understands what the other really has.
The church's teachings, what you have just described about men and women and their roles together in the church and in families, is pretty unique. I can't think of another organization or creed that talks about this in the world in these kinds of ways. Can you talk about what examples you have seen in the church of men and women working together in these kinds of unique, unified ways?
There are lots of ways in working in the auxiliaries and priesthood leaders, and every ward has one person who holds the keys. So that authorizes the ordinances. Even a father who holds the Melchizedek priesthood is not authorized to perform a baptism or an ordination or give the gift of the Holy Ghost to someone without authorization from the bishop, because the bishop authorizes the ordinances. The bishop gives us permission to go to the temple to receive the ordinances. He is the keeper of the keys and certifies our worthiness and all those things that connect us and link us to the ordinances of the church. So we have to understand that about a bishop and his role, that it's unique. And once he's not the bishop, he doesn't have those keys. Those pass to somebody else. And then someone else is authorized to govern that work. In the home, it is the husband and wife who work together to lead that home. And the father has the responsibility to utilize the priesthood power that he holds in trust to bless his family, to call people to prayer and make sure that happens, to take people to sacrament meeting and make sure that happens. Does he do it alone? No. He is equally yoked with a partner, and they both ensure that it happens. It's only when we're pulling together that it really happens most effectively.
Let's listen to a question from Debbie Parker.
Hi, my name is Debbie Parker from Monterey, Tennessee. My question for Sister Beck is, can women who do not have fathers or husbands that are members have a connection to the priesthood? Would that be their home teacher? And what can women in this situation do that would be the most beneficial for their children and other family members?
Thank you, Debbie, for your question. Again, we have to help each other understand that the priesthood is God's power to bless all his children. So sisters always have access to that help that they need through the help of the Holy Ghost, through personal revelation, and you're not restricted in getting help from the Lord in that personal way, whether you're married or whether you have a husband who's a member of the church or other things. To access the ordinances of the priesthood, you work through the bishop who has the keys. So to participate in the ordinance of the sacrament, we go to sacrament meeting, and the bishop is authorized to have that ordinance in the ward. And if you want to go to the temple, you go to the bishop, and then you have access to the ordinances of the temple, every one of those. So sisters have access that way to the blessings and ordinances of the priesthood. If you want a priesthood blessing, and you don't have a father who's a member of the church, or a husband who's a member of the church, or someone who isn't worthily holding the priesthood that you know, then any worthy male who you love and value would be the one you would go to give you that blessing and to hear God's words for you. If you're sick, you can ask for that kind of a blessing, of a healing blessing from a home teacher or from a brother or from a friend. A home teacher is a perfect example. If you need a blessing for any reason, a strengthening blessing, or sometimes you've got a problem in your life that you're struggling with, you don't even have to share what the problem is, just saying, I need a strengthening blessing. And then you have access to that in myriad ways. And in the temple, you have full access through your own endowment and those priesthood blessings to everything the Lord offers you.
I know that you travel a lot and you meet a lot of world leaders, women leaders, who may or may not be familiar with the church very much. If they asked you, what do women in the church do? What role do women play? How do you answer them?
I say that the most foundational unit of our church is the family unit. And in the family, we are equally yoked. We have a husband and wife and a family. That is an equal partnership relationship. And that doesn't mean we have identical responsibilities and identical roles, but we have equal responsibility before the Lord for the success of that family. In the church, we also have equal responsibility for the success of the church. And sisters don't have a passive role in helping the Lord's work go forward. It's an active participating role. We have our own organizations that the work of those organizations is presided over, or you can say carried out by a female presidency. Relief Society is authorized to carry out its own work. The authorization for that work comes through a bishop, just because he has the keys of the ward. He authorizes the work of the ward. But once that Relief Society president is set apart, she is in full possession of all the blessings and authority she needs to operate a Relief Society and fulfill its purposes. And that is the authority she has. So again, sometimes we're asking the wrong questions, but I don't know of a church that is more fully integrated and unified in purpose with male and female roles and responsibilities in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the order of that is so beautiful and so unified that there should be no feeling of being subpar in any way, because we all have one goal and we work toward it in every regard.
Sister Beck, a sister named Virginia Pulley wrote into our website and she said, I work in the temple and I often get asked, how do sisters perform ordinances in the temple? How is that possible?
Performing ordinances in the temple and accessing the ordinances of the temple was one of the, again, foundational reasons for the establishment of Relief Society. That Joseph Smith said, I'm going to bring you into possession of this. Then he taught and trained and prepared the sisters for the Nauvoo Temple, not just the construction of the physical edifice, but for the work that would go on inside of this, the temple. I would hope that every single sister in this church, one, qualifies for a temple recommend, that she works to have the sufficient maturity to understand sacred ordinances and to make a covenant that is an eternal covenant with God, and then to honor that covenant for the rest of her life. That's the maturity level we need, is to know what it is that's happening. Then when you get to the temple, it should always be our question every time we attend the temple to have the Lord teach us, observe, pray for the gift to observe what is happening, how is it happening, why are things happening in the way they're happening. And we don't need to talk about a lot of other things about the temple, because the Lord will instruct us in that way. And when you understand that authority is passed through someone who has the responsibility for that authority, and people are given assignments to do certain work, you won't be confused. So this is all the Lord's work. We're authorized to do it through His authority, and it prepares us for the blessings of exaltation. That's what we're working toward. I love this quote by Eliza Arsenault. She said, "Tell the sisters to go forth and discharge their duties in humility and faithfulness, and the Spirit of God will rest upon them, and they will be blessed in their labors. Let them seek for wisdom instead of power, and they will have all the power they have wisdom to exercise."
That's a great quote.
So I love that, that in our world, women are saying, "I want the power." And the Lord has the power. He has given all His children, male and female, different ways to qualify for His power operating in their lives. And so the question we should all be asking is, how can I have the Lord's power and influence in my life in the most effective ways?
As we close this episode of the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, Sister Beck, could you share your testimony, maybe some personal experience about spiritual gifts and their connection to the priesthood?
The older I get, the more valuable the spiritual gifts become. And these gifts are something I treasure and work toward. And I pray for gifts I don't have and to be strengthened in areas where I'm weak and to be healed of weaknesses I have that are pulling me down. And all of that requires different gifts that the Lord will replace and give us in our lives. I know personally, I've learned how to speak Spanish and Portuguese, not perfectly. And I'm always better when I'm in a leadership training situation. I've learned when I go to a country where people speak Spanish, if I'm in a casual conversation, I struggle for the words. And if I'm in a leadership training setting, I will always have sufficient for my needs, because that's an ebb and flow, and we can ask for words, and we can take questions, and it's always sufficient for us to understand each other. And then sometimes, when the Lord wills it, I have seen the miracle of being able to just open my mouth and speak. Where does that come from? To have the words and the vocabulary to express what the Lord wants me to say in someone else's language. That comes from the Lord. And that is a spiritual gift that is given to bless Heavenly Father's children. I don't always have it. I have it when He wants me to have it, to do the things He wants me to do. I might point you to a couple of other places where you could study and learn. If you go through the Doctrine and Covenants, and every time you see anything that hints toward the temple, put a T by that, and that will begin to enlighten your mind. And temple, we know, those blessings are available to Heavenly Father's sons and daughters to prepare them for the blessings of eternal life. So you can illuminate your understanding that way. If you go to Doctrine and Covenants 84, it talks about the priest a lot in this section. And again, this is the Lord preparing His people for the temple and the ordinances of the temple. And it says that this greater priesthood, which is how temple ordinances are performed, it holds the keys to the mystery of the kingdom and the key to the knowledge of God. And in the temple, we learn and gain knowledge of God. And in the ordinances thereof, in the ordinances of the temple and the ordinances of this gospel, the power of godliness is manifest. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. And without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. And so this, it says, Moses plainly taught the children of Israel in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's still teaching us this. We need to think of the ordinances of this gospel as helping us access the power of godliness. When we're baptized and when we're confirmed a member of the church and told to receive the Holy Ghost, that is a power that takes us closer to God, that Holy Ghost. And there is that's something that Heavenly Father gives us. When we go to the temple, then there are certain blessings that we get, and that power of godliness then becomes part of us and helps move us toward the blessings of eternal life. I would hope that the conversations about the priesthood begin to take on less of the conversation of competitiveness, of who has what and what don't I have, become the questions that help us understand through the Lord and His revelatory power to us, what do I have? What do I need to prepare for and receive? How can I more fully be in possession of the privileges and blessings and gifts of the priesthood that have been promised to me? And Heavenly Father doesn't shortchange a single child of His in those blessings. That's my testimony.
I can't express my gratitude for someone in your position with the heavy responsibilities that you have to come and share this time with us on the Mormon Channel to answer specific questions and to teach. Thank you so much.
Well, this is a great privilege to me. I know that Heavenly Father loves His children. He desires to bless them, and He's provided His priesthood power and authority on the earth in a very orderly, sweet way to lift them and carry them through this mortal experience. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sister Beck. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org, or to ask a question of Sister Beck, email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.